stand in their place, that will get out and do what needs to be done. Amen. To take care of their families, to mentor other young boys and young people and help them mature and develop to be who God has purposed them to be. So thank God, knew what he was doing when he put the family together.
Yes.
Amen. He knew that there would be no family without a man and a woman. He knew that just couldn't be. There would be no continuation of life without a male and a female, without a man and a woman coming together and procreating and continuing this cycle of life that God created. And so we don't take that lightly. We don't take that for granted. It is still a trick of the enemy to decimate the family.
Yes.
It is still the plan of the enemy to promote genocide, you know, infanticide, killing the young and the old, catching the babies in the womb and killing them. It's the enemy. He's always done that. He's always moved upon the heart of wicked, twisted people. When they wanted to, when Pharaoh, you know, wanted to be so hard-hearted and heavy-handed, he sent out a decree to kill the firstborn, you know, among all of Egypt. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it backfired, and what he intended for the people of God ended up causing devastation on his kingdom in Egypt. It was Herod who wanted to kill the rightful king when the Magi came and told him when he would be born, when they would be born. And he sent out a decree to kill all the young male children up to 2 years of age. That's how the enemy works. When he wants to stop the plan of God, he doesn't care about collateral damage. He doesn't care about who's affected and who's impacted when he's trying to get one. When he's trying to stop what God is doing, he doesn't care. Man, woman, old, young, babies, the unborn, he doesn't care. He's so sinister, so wicked, so evil. He will take out a nation just to try to get to one seed.
Yes.
So the people of God have to be wise. Jesus said, be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. We've got to use some wisdom as we journey through this life. We can't help the enemy while we're praising God. Selah. We can't be supporting the enemy while we're claiming to worship and praise the true and the living God. But if we don't know any better, we won't do any better. That's why God gives us his word. That's why he gives us his spirit. That's why he puts people in our place, in our path, in their pathway to help them better understand what the will of the Lord is. That's why he puts us in family so that his will can be taught from generation to generation, so we can be alerted to what the enemy's schemes and devices are. And then we can stand with God against those destructive and those corrosive and corruptible things. But we've got to use wisdom. We've got to keep growing in grace and our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to keep understanding what the will of the Lord is. We're told not to be ignorant, not to be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but being filled with the Spirit, that we might understand, we might know what the will of the Lord is. God wants his people to know and understand what he requires, because his will is always to bless humanity. God loves humanity. That's why the Bible tells us, even in the beginning, that he made man in his image and his likeness. Because he loves us so much above everything else that God created. And when he looked at everything he created, he said, it is good. Mm-hmm. When he finished his creation, his crowning creation and achievement in man, looked at everything, said, it is very good. It is very good. Oh, I saved my best for last on this one. I did my best work when I made man. The psalmist declared, "Move. What is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you visit him?" You come to tabernacle with him. You come to dwell with him. We need to think, if God thinks that highly of us, why won't we think that highly of ourselves and of others? Instead of devaluing life, killing, because life has no value or very little value. So God teaches us, and we've said it many times, I'm going to move on as the Lord leads, that the most important lessons we can learn, and you all know I don't mind repeating myself, is how we are to relate with God and how we are to relate with mankind, with each other. That's it. That sums up all of the laws of God, all of the prophets of old, that we're to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, love our neighbor as ourselves. How do we relate to God, and what is our responsibility, or what are our responsibilities to him, and how we relate and interact with one another, and what are our responsibilities to one another? That's it. That's this whole life's pursuit. That's why we're journeying through life. That's our assignment. Learn these things and operate. Put them into practice in your life. And your life will be richer and fuller in this life. And you'll have eternal life forevermore. So let's keep learning. Let's keep growing. Let's keep finding out the purpose and the meaning of life. And let's change our attitudes and mindsets to line up with the will of God. Because the truth is, all of this, brothers and sisters, is for us. Is for humanity. It really is. Malachi chapter 1, we'll touch on this a little bit more and we'll be done. Thank you, Lord. We're listening, Father. Thank you so much. There are 14 verses in chapter 1. We're going to look at 9 of them, starting at verse number 6. Malachi chapter 1, starting at verse number 6. Again, this is nothing new. Some of these things we talked about just a few weeks ago on Women's Day. Now we're coming back for Men's Day, Father's Day, and we're going to speak to some of these things. Of course, next week is our Men's Day observance here at the Church of God in Richmond. We may hear some more. I don't know. Just depends on how God wants to work. Amen. I'm reading from, well, it's not on the screen, but then we'll go. A son honors his father.
Yes.
And the servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise, that abhor my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar. And ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? If it's on the screen, you all read with me, starting at verse number 9. You ready? Let's read.
And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This afternoon, will he guard your persons, saith the Lord of hosts. Who is there, even among you, that will shut the doors for naught, neither do you kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the right of the Son, in my due and my name, and a pure offering for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. Ye have profaned it, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. He said, and so, behold, what a weariness is, and you have stuffed it, saith the Lord of hosts. What that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick, thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, which hath his flock with male, and ye boweth sacrifices to the Lord, the corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. And my name is dreadful among the heathen.
Amen. We thank the Lord for reading and hearing his word. Brothers and sisters, this prophet Malachi, or Malachiah, depending on the translation, it means messenger, a messenger of God, a person that God sends to his people to really reveal to them what his heart and what his thoughts and what his will is, what his plans are. God sends Malachi to a people, God's people, that have become slack in their commitments and their devotion to him. They've gotten really lazy in their honoring the things of God, and they've really grown cold and kind of callous and strayed away from really honoring the true and the living God in their midst, the one who had kept them, who provided for them, who delivered them time and time again from bondage, from slavery, from oppression, from all of the works of the enemy, and even from fear of the inhabitants all around them. God had been their God. God had chosen them to be his people. God had taken them from a very small number and greatly multiplied them to millions of inhabitants. God had provided for them naturally and supernaturally, shielded and protected them over and over and over again. And while they were so richly blessed, they grew callous again. They began to be desensitized to the presence of God, and really just took the things of God lightly. Does it sound like anybody we know? Don't raise your hand. But I mean, we are a blessed people. Yes, we have issues. Yes, we are still working through things as culturally, working through things as citizens of this country, working through things because of our gender. I mean, all kinds of things that we have to deal with. But we have to admit that God has been good to us.
Amen.
That God has been faithful. That God has been a present help, even in times of trouble and times of difficulties. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, we wouldn't have made it through those dangers seen and unseen, through the sicknesses, through the diseases, through the financial issues, through the job situation, through the things that we've been through, only because of the goodness and the faithfulness of God are we even here today. But God continues to warn and remind his people, there is so much more that I have for you. So I'm willing to warn you. I've given you the Holy Spirit to convict you, to bring you to a place to be reminded of where you are, from which I've brought you, and still where I want to take you. Malachi is dealing with a people just like that, who were blessed of God and yet had begun to forget just how good and faithful God had been to them. They got lax. They got slack. They slid back into worldliness. It's amazing, but you would bear it out, that even though we're saved, and some of us have been saved for a long time, it doesn't take much to pull us, to sway us over into a wrong act or thought or deed. It's amazing. It's amazing. We're saved. We're sanctified. We're filled with the Holy Ghost. It doesn't take much. But all you gotta do is stand in a shopping place or in a elevator, and the right song comes on and your body just wants to start, you know. It's like it's been programmed in you. Huh? It doesn't take long to want to flip somebody off because they cut you off, or want to cuss them out before you catch yourself. And I mean, been saved for a long time. Yeah. Doesn't take long. So we have to guard our hearts and our minds against those things, because Paul recognized that even when I would do good, evil is present. It's just waiting for an opportunity for us to let our guards down so he can pounce. He's just waiting for an opening. He knows that God has put a hedge around us spiritually. He knows that we are a protected people. He knows that he can't get to us unless we let him in. So he lurks and he creeps around. He says, as a roaring lion going to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. Now, we're not here magnifying the enemy, but God says be wise to his devices. Don't be ignorant that he's scheming. He wants to still kill you, steal from you, and destroy you. Doesn't care how saved you are, he still wants to take you down. And because he wants you, he will go after everyone around you to try to get to you. Like I said, he did it with Pharaoh. He did it with Jesus, and he'll do the same with us, because he wants you. He'll attack your family. He'll attack your finances. He'll attack your health. He'll attack your job security. He'll attack anything that he can, because he wants you to curse your God. He wants you and me to deny our God. He wants us to walk away from depending on God and get back into the world trying to do this thing our own way. Because then he says, now I got. You were safe. God put a hedge around you, but I lured you out, so now I can get you. We gotta be wise, saints. We've gotta understand this thing and stop giving the enemy this access to us. Carelessness, callousness, laziness, distraction, sometimes infirmity and weakness. Those things are leveled against us just to get your mind off of Christ, off of your solution, and then get you worried, anxious, nervous about your problems, caught up in the cares of life. So God will send warnings. He'd send messengers. He'd send the Holy Spirit. To get us back, to shake us and get us refocused. So we can be vigilant and we can persevere and we can press through, knowing that if we stick with God, we win this thing. Amen. Amen. But if we get back in the world's ways of doing things, then, you know, you're subject to the same statistical, issues like everyone else. You just become a statistic just like everybody else. So be wise. God sends a warning to Malachi. Y'all give me a few minutes. And he warns them against this condition and reminds them how he has blessed them, how he has favored them. And now he's calling them to account with their relationship with him. I've told you this before, I'll tell you many times. God values honor and respect. It's at a premium with God. It's a first thing with him. So he starts there at verse number 6, and he declares, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. It's not up for debate. God declares a real son, a true son, honors his father, and a servant honors his master. If I'm your father, where is my honor? If I'm your master, where is my fear or my reverence or my respect or my esteem or my regard? Every child is not a son or a daughter. You can have the same biological composition, the same DNA, the same chromosomes. You can have all of these things, the same genetic makeup and markers and precursors, and still not have the heart and the mind of a son. You can be biologically a person's child from their own loins and still not be a son or a daughter, a true daughter. Because sonship is more than biology. Sonship is a spiritual communion and connection to the authority, to the purpose of the one that I am submitted to. That's why Isaiah wrote, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Jesus was born a babe, born a child, but he wasn't given until he was a son, until he had the heart of the Father, until his purposes were perfectly aligned with the will of the Father, until he could say, "I didn't come to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Until even in the garden, agonizing over the decision that he had to make to offer himself with sweat that dropped like blood from his body, he still submitted to the will of the Father. Said, "Nevertheless, if this cup is possible, let it pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." That's a son. That's a son. That's a son that has a heart that's going to serve the Father's purposes. But it's also a son that recognizes how much he has received from that Father. We are all somebody's biological offspring.
Yes.
Or else we wouldn't be here legally. Amen. But everyone hasn't matured to a place of sonship, to where they're willing to submit even their will to what the Father wants. The Heavenly Father, our Father, the Father of Israel, the Father of all of us who claim to be the children of God and heirs with Jesus Christ. He says to them, "If I really am your father, Where is my honor? Where's my respect? Where's my esteem in your life? Said the Lord concerning his people. He said, sent Malachi to tell him, you say I'm your father. Where's the honor and the respect that I'm due? Anyone can have a title. But the title means nothing if it has no weight behind it. It only means something when it's backed up, when it's supported with some weight and some authority. A lot of honorary people. But you can't make no decisions. You just an honorary this. You're honorary that. But you don't have no power. Don't have no weight. You just got a piece of paper or a designation that says you're an honorary member of this. But you can't vote. You got an honorary doctorate. But it ain't going to make you get no more money. No. You're an honorary doctor of letters, but we're not going to read what you wrote. I mean, it ain't going to make none of the journals. It's not going to be peer reviewed, but you and I, it doesn't mean anything if it has no weight behind it. You can call me father all day long, but where's the honor? Where's the respect that goes with it? God told his people, if I'm your father, you're my son, where's my honor? Because it accompanies who I am. If you say I'm Lord and you're my servant, where's my reverence, my fear, my respect? Huh? Something to think about, folks, as we move to a close. We're not trying to make anybody sad today or any of that. But God is dealing with his people as sons because he wants us to understand what's important to him. Amen. This is important to God, and I'll tell you why. God loves humanity so much, he has established the system where everyone he sends into our lives is there to bless us, to help us. Everyone. I didn't say everyone that comes into your life. I said everyone that God sends into your life. Because he has a plan for us, he's going to send people and set people into our lives. Some are there to stay, some are there for a temporary season and purpose, but every one of them is there to help you, to help me move further to where God has purposed me to be. And he requires that we learn to see it, to value them and respect them, because we won't receive from someone we don't respect. Mm-mm. We won't get the fullness of what we're supposed to get from somebody that we don't respect. Because we don't value who they are and what they bring into our lives. I'll let that one percolate for a little while. Because we need to get that. A lot of people God sends into our lives we don't respect. Mm-hmm. And so what he wants us to get from them, we don't always receive it. Other people come into our lives. See, the enemy is sending people into your life too, across your path, because he has an agenda. Mm-hmm. And we already know his agenda is to take from you, to lessen you. Mm-hmm. Again, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But when God sends a person into our lives, it's to bless us. It's to leave a deposit, something spiritual or financial or physical that God sends across our path for the express purpose of blessing and increasing us.
Yes.
And there are many, many examples of that. God sent and positioned the daughter of Pharaoh by the river, so that as the basket that carried Moses came by, she could have him drawn out. Think about it. God did that. Because what Pharaoh, what her father had decreed, that all of these male born children, what firstborn would be killed, she drew a child, the deliverer of God, out of the river. And took him as her own, raised up in the house of Pharaoh. God will put people in our lives to bless us, to help us. Because God's plans for our lives are so great. And because of that, Moses is nurtured and raised up in the house of Pharaoh. Protected, trained in all of, you know, all of the arts and sciences and all of the things that wealthy people have access to. History and knowledge and the best, trained. And when God was ready, God called him out and sent him to deliver his people. On the other hand, Jesus chose Judas. The one that would betray him, Jesus handpicked him. Because the purpose of God had to be fulfilled that Jesus would go to the cross. So he selected the one that would betray him. You mean Jesus must have missed that one? He made a bad decision. Absolutely not. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. He knew that God's will must be fulfilled. Somebody had to betray him. He selected the person that he knew would carry out the sentence, would turn him over to the authorities. Because God's plan was for humanity to be saved.
Yeah.
And everywhere along that spectrum, God is sending people into our lives to bless us. And if we don't value it, if we don't see it, and if we don't respect, and if we don't honor them because God has brought them there, we will miss out on the blessing and the benefits that God wants us to receive. See why it's important? And to the contrary, Satan is sending people. And if we don't see that, and if we just let everybody in, take everybody in, get hooked up and connected with them while they're scheming and plotting and strategizing to take from you your demise, your downfall, then we will make grave errors, and many of us have. And we've had to learn those lessons the hard way. I thought she was my friend. And she just took and took and took and took and took and took. I thought he was my boy. And he just took and took and took. Took my girlfriend. Took my wife. Took my money. Took my job. Took my position. Took and just took and took and took. I thought she loved me. We let people in because we have a heart to love. But without the wisdom of God, we're making too many mistakes.
Yeah.
God wants to protect us against that, saints of God. He wants to protect you. Young people, it's not too late. He wants to protect you. Everybody that says they're with you isn't. Everybody that says they love you, they don't. Everybody that says they want to bless you, no, they want to take from you. You cannot let everybody in. You cannot get connected with people based on how they look and how they talk. Satan knew how to talk. He talked Eve into rebelling against God. Young ladies, older ladies, men know how to talk. Don't be, they know how to talk. They know how to talk, know how to run the game, know how to run the con, know how to be so sweet and smooth and eloquent. We know how to do that. How you think some of them got folks going out to work every day? They laying up at home playing video games, dropping them off at work in their new car that then driving around picking up their other women in their, they know how to run the game. How do you think a man can talk a woman into selling her body for him? They know how to talk. We know how to talk. But we can't fall for that any longer. We've got to be wise. They'll turn you against your own mama and your own daddy. And separate you from your family. And now you're upset and not talking with your loved ones. And they're steadily manipulating and taking advantage. They know how to do that. But God sends people into our lives to bless us, to help us on our journey and our destiny, to add value. Add value to our lives. But we've got to respect that. And then the enemy warps our thinking so badly that we don't want a good man. We want a dog. Don't want a good woman. Want a, what they used to call them, all kind of things. Floozies, strumpets. Those are the mild names. They want that kind of woman. Because our minds have been twisted by the enemy, and we're not being led by the spirit, we're being led by the lust of the flesh. So God sends help for his people by the way of his word to correct us. And it starts with repositioning our relationship with him. If he's our father, where is my honor? Why won't you listen to me and then take what I say, give it full weight in your life? Don't call me Lord, Lord, and then don't do what I say. Don't say I'm your father and then ignore and dismiss my instructions. Don't say I am your God, but I still gonna do what I wanna do, how I wanna do it, when I wanna do it, and then I'm gonna come to the house of the Lord and sing and preach and give offerings. God told them, I'm not accepting it from you, and the Spirit is saying to us, he won't accept it from us. Because he wants to help us. Yeah. Because he loves us. Because he wants to bless us. Yeah. And he knows that if we keep doing these aberrant, perverse things, it doesn't help us. It only takes us further and deeper down in a hole away from the blessing, yes, and the promises of God. Yeah. Amen. See, folks that really love you will tell you the truth. Because they want the best. But you're not trying to hurt you. Your feelings might be hurt for a while, but pretty soon I'm sure glad you told me. I didn't like it when you told me. It hurt my feelings. I got a little kind of, you know, some kind of way. But I'm sure glad you warned me about that joker. I'm sure glad you told me about that con man. I'm sure glad you alerted me to that scheme. I'm so glad you showed me, because it protected me. It helped me from making a bigger mess. God says to his people, where's my honor? If I'm your master, if you're a servant, where is my fear? Where is my reverence? Where is my respect? Quickly, as we wrap this up. Then he goes through a series of things where he poses, he makes a comment, and then they respond, and then he gives his indictment. We won't really go through the whole thing. Because he finishes up at verse number 6, he says, O priests that despise my name. You're priests. You're servants of the Most High God, he tells them. You're the ones who receive from me and then you minister to the people. You bring the people's offerings and you submit them to me. And you despise my name. How can we offer pure sacrifices to God when we don't even esteem and honor and value his name? He tells them they can't. So they say, how have we despised your name? What did we do? We thought we were doing all the right stuff. We thought we were doing what you required. Where did we miss it? His response, you offered polluted bread on mine altar. And you said, how was it polluted? In that you said the table of the Lord is contemptible. Folks, it's an attitude thing here. Then you read the next section and he'll even take it further. You're doing what you're supposed to do, but your heart and your attitude ain't right. You really don't even want to do this. You're here, you're serving, not you, but the people. You're serving, but you don't really want to be here. You come in with a half attitude, you're nasty, you're snippy, you come in and you go through, you huff and you puff and you grunt. Oh Lord, I gotta set up this communion again. Oh God, here we go again. All this stuff. They always leaving me. Ain't nobody here to help me. I gotta take all this stuff and put it up and put it down. I'm just getting tired of this stuff. The table of the Lord to you has become contemptible. God wants the attitude that I'm going to serve God out of a pure heart. If nobody helps me, if nobody joins me, God deserves my best. If I have to do it by myself, it's an honor and it's a privilege to serve God because he's been so good to me. Yeah. Your attitude got to be right. That little stinky attitude. And we think God's gonna accept that. I come up here, it's my time to sing. I've been grumbling and grumpy all day. I've been frowning at everybody else. Everybody that hit a bad note. I've been laughing and joking and making fun of them. Then I want to get up there and sing to the glory of God. You think God is pleased with that? God ain't pleased with that. Us preachers, we can't celebrate nobody else. We can't encourage nobody else. We got to sit up there like this. Until it's my time to preach, then I'm going to get up and want to preach. And then y'all come on, say amen, somebody. Come on, give some. Why you sitting there like a bump on a log? But God ain't been good to you. You got that frown on your face. Well, I had a frown on my face about 10 minutes ago before I got up to preach. What y'all doing? Y'all ain't paying no attention. Y'all sleeping and everything. When I was up there the whole time checking my phone. And I was up doing all kind of stuff until I got up to preach. Then all of a sudden I want everybody's undivided attention. God ain't impressed. God ain't fooled. He's called us together in this thing. We are family in this thing. We support each other in this work of Christ. We celebrate each other. We encourage each other. We pray for each other. And we may not always do our best, but I still want somebody to pat me on the back and say, you did all right today. I was blessed today by your ministry. Thank you so much for letting God use you. He says it's polluted. Because they come to the table of God and it's more of a burden than a blessing. When the things of God become more of a burden than a blessing, we're doing it wrong. We don't have the right attitude about it. And we need to go somewhere and sit down and get with God and let God correct us. Do a course correction. Doesn't mean it doesn't get heavy sometimes. Doesn't mean it doesn't take sacrifice. Because many times it does. But we still got to check our attitude and let the Holy Spirit change my mind about it. Yes, I wish others were here to help, but if they ain't here, God's still going to be glorified. Because I'm going to give him my best. He said they're offering polluted bread, and they said, well, how was it polluted? Because your attitude, the way you brought it, the table of the Lord is contemptible. I really don't want to do this. You offer blind, verse 8, sacrifices. They knew they weren't supposed to bring anything blind, anything blemished, anything injured or maimed or lamed. They had to inspect these offerings before they were presented to the Lord. And if it didn't measure up, they didn't present it. Oh, God will accept it. He'll accept anything. That's where we miss the mark. God is still God.
Yes, right.
No, God will accept what he asked for. Your best may not be my best. My best may not be the next person's best, but God wants my best. Mm-hmm. It's not a competition. Mm-hmm. It's a commitment.
Yeah.
It's a commitment. Everybody can't come to the house of God 7 days a week. But if I got one day and I can't even come that day, it's your commitment problem. It's a commitment problem. I've been working all day. I know I want to go to him, but I'm tired. I ain't going down that day. God gave you the grace to make it all those other 6 days. God gave you the strength to go to work. God gave you the strength to eat, to cook, to clothe yourself. God gave you the strength to do everything you wanted to do. Now you got one day that you can make it and fellowship with other believers, and you choose to go to the beach or you choose to stay at home. That's not an ability, that's a commitment. And you can do what you want to do. This ain't telling you, no, you want to go to the beach, go to the beach. Seriously, you want to go to the beach, go to the beach. You're grown. You're grown. You can make your own choices and decisions. Amen. You have to be the one that values your relationship with God or not. Amen. Nobody's here the arbiter of that. Nobody can demand and require of someone else what God asked for. God wants a full commitment. Now the pastor gonna come to church and say, you better be here. You better sacrifice. You, if God ain't gonna make you do it, I'm sure ain't gonna try to make you do it. You best believe that. Amen. If God ain't going to make you do it, oh, don't worry about me. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to show you what the word says, but you got to do this thing for, and I got to do this thing for myself. Yeah. That's why different ones tell me, well, apostle, I won't be there. I'm going, praise God. You going on vacation? Take your vacation. Enjoy yourself. We'll see you when you come back. Apostle, I won't be here for prayer. God bless you. Pray where you are if you can. We'll see you when you come back. I ain't trying to make nobody do nothing. I'm not trying to make nobody do nothing. If I said we're praying, I'm coming to prayer. If don't nobody came, that's all right. And I ain't going to have no attitude about it either. Because it might be a time that I can't get here. And I don't want nobody to have no attitude with me. Apostle called for prayer. He ain't even come tonight. That's right. I ain't come tonight. That's right. I didn't come tonight. Hey, I mean, let's wrap this up. Folks say, you can stop prophesying and start meddling now. Let's stop meddling. Okay. So he goes on to write verse 9. And now, verse 8. You offer the blind for sacrifice. Isn't that evil? If you offer lame and sick, isn't that evil? Offer to your governor. See if he'll be pleased with that. Get a tax man what you want to give him. Amen. Get the IRS what you want to give them. Yeah, just give them what you want to give them. I don't want to pay this. They say I ain't paying this. I'm giving what I want to give. You do that. You pay your mortgage holder what you want to give them. Give Verizon what you want to give them. Give Virginia Power, whatever it is now, they changed the name so much, Dominion. Give Dominion what you want to give them. Huh? Then you go to hit the switch, you ain't got no lights, no electricity, huh? You go to turn the water on, don't nothing come out of the pipes because you didn't pay the city or the county, but you gave them what you wanted to give them. Huh? The IRS start garnishing your wages because you just gave them what you wanted to give them. They said, if you won't offer that to them, why offer God less than your best? After all, He's the Lord. He's our Lord. He's our Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. Couple of verses. We're done. Verse 9. And now I pray, I beg God that He will be gracious unto you. This has been by your means. In other words, you did this. We're not falsely accusing you. Nobody's blaming you falsely. This is of your own doing. You had a choice, and this is the choice, or these are the choices you made. And brothers and sisters, we still have a choice.
Yes.
Every day we have a choice. Am I going to serve God or not? Or to what level, to what degree is my commitment going to be? Every day we have a choice. Am I going to put God first? Or am I going to put something or someone else first? Every day we have a choice. Every day we have a choice when we get up in the morning. Am I going to work today or am I staying home? And every Sunday morning you have a choice. Am I getting up to go to church school or am I going to wait till 11 o'clock service? Or am I just staying home? Am I going to the beach? Am I going to wash my car and I'm going to stay in today? We have a choice. But personally, each of us has to get with our God and our Creator and our Savior, and then we have to determine our commitment level to God. That's what this is all about. No manipulation, nobody forcing anybody, no domination. Each person is going to have to evaluate his or her walk with God, relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and then respond accordingly and pray that God is pleased. Let me just tell you, if you give God what He wants, He'll be pleased.
Yes, right.
You give me what I want, I'll be pleased. Because I'm not fickle. I'm not fickle. I'm not going to ask you for one thing. You give it to me and that ain't good enough. Some people are like that, you know. You give them that. You said you wanted that. That ain't it. Then you give them that. Well, you want this? You give them. That ain't it either. They're fickle. You can't please them. They don't know what they want. But God can be pleased. God can be pleased with His people. Give Him what He wants. Just give Him what He wants. Verse number 10. Who? I like this verse. I really do. Who is there even among you that will shut the doors?
Yes.
For naught? In other words, I wish somebody would just put a padlock and lock the door and don't let folks come up in there with those defiled offerings. I'm not going to do that, but it's like I wish somebody cared enough about doing this thing right that they would really encourage my people to take this seriously, not just skip up in the church. Oh, I'm happy today, skipping up in here whenever they want to skip in. And for those can't get here no better, don't get mad. Don't come back next week. Don't get mad because you came in late. Not come next week. Come next week. And come the next week. And come the next week. We want you to come as often as you can, as often as you want, and participate. So don't get mad. You don't want me coming in late. No, I ain't talking about you. I'm just preaching the word. Wherever the seed falls, that's on you. Yes, I want you to come in. We had prayer. Somebody came in 5 minutes before because they didn't know we were having prayer. They thought we were having church school. I was glad. I mean, Bible study. I was glad they came in. And we stayed. And we went on over and we prayed and we talked about the scripture because they came. Yes, I want you to come because it takes effort to get here and persevere. So this isn't that. It's really God wanting to make sure that we're trying to do our best, that He deserves our best, and that we're going to try to give Him our best, whatever that is on that given day. And this may have been the best I could do today. I got here. That's the best I could do today. Amen. God receives that. It was a press. I struggled to do this, but I did it. God receives that. Amen. I had all these things on my plate, but I said I was coming. I may have gotten here 15 minutes before it's over, but I got here. God receives that. But if it's flipping attitude, oh well, I get there when I get there. If they don't want me to get there, it ain't none of their business anyway. You know? Anyway, last couple of verses. I wish somebody just locked the door. Neither do you kindle fire on my altar in vain. Don't do this in vain. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering from your hand. How many want God to be pleased with what we give him, what we offer him? I know I do. We invest too much, folks. You invest too much time, too much energy, too much money, too many sacrifices to not to do our best and give God our best, whatever that is. It costs too much. They were talking in church school about the Old Testament sacrifices and how all this blood was a part of those of the old covenant, and the blood was sprinkled on the book and sprinkled on the people and sprinkled, and how bloody it was, and the significance of that. God wanted his people to make sure that they didn't take that lightly. And when you have that much blood, animal blood being shed, and you have that much blood being sprinkled all over it, and you feel that warm blood even hit your skin, you cannot take that lightly. You can't take that for granted. God wanted his people to know that these animals, these innocent animals, gave their life so that your sins could be covered. This isn't some light thing that's going on. Blood was shed. Innocent life was lost so that your sins could be covered. And I don't ever want you to forget this. So when you feel this blood on your body and you see all this blood and you hear those animals baying and crying and calling out, and their throats are slit and the blood is drained, and this ceremony takes place, you will recognize that an awesome price was paid for this. And the merciful God, who instead of taking my life, gave the life of these innocent animals for me. So then when Jesus comes and pays the ultimate price, God wants us to see this and not take this thing lightly, but to see it and to recognize, as Deacon Larry said, that it was our place that he took. But for the grace and the mercy and the love of God, that would have been me. And that's why we are so grateful and so thankful, and we worship him and we praise him. God wants us to take it seriously. Every time we come together, thank God I made it, but God, I want to give you more. Because what you've done for me, this little sacrifice that I do, could never compare. I don't want anybody to think I'm grand because I'm here. I'm glad to be here. I'm grateful that God gave me another chance to praise his name. I'm grateful that God chose to save me and use me in his service. I'm grateful that God gave me some kind of voice to sing. I'm grateful that I got my health and strength, that I can be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. I'm grateful that God's given me a mind to retain some of his word that I can teach and share with others. I'm grateful that God included me in his family. I'm not taking this for granted. It's a blessing.
Yes.
And I thank God for it. Yes. I'm going to give my best. If I sing, I'm going to give my best. Yes. If I usher, I'm going to give my best. Okay. If I dance, I'm going to give my best. If I preach, I'm going to give my best. If I shout, I'm going to shout my best. Yes. If I work with the sound, I'm going to do my best. Yes. If I clean the toilets, I'm going to do my best. Yes. If I drive the bus, I'm going to drive my best. I ain't going to be on the phone texting and driving, trying to take people here. I'm going to drive my best. I'm going to give God my best because he gave me his best. Anybody here this morning, you're going to give God your best because he gave us his best. I'm going to give God my all because he gave me his all. I'm going to give God a sacrifice because he sacrificed for me. I'm going to do my best to offer God what pleases him. Folks, I'm not through, but I'm going to stop right here. You read the rest of it. Because once we get this back right, yes, then we can honor our earthly fathers the way God said honor them. And we can see God put this man in my life to bless me. He's not a perfect man, but he's been good to me. Yes. He's opened, he put food on my table. Yes. He put a roof over my head. He made sure I had clean clothes. Yes. He paid the bills as best he could so that running water was there and heat and air and lights. This man, he may not have taken me to church, but he didn't stop me from going to church. This man was in my life a blessing to me. Not a perfect man, but he's been a good man for me. And I thank God for my father. And I'm going to honor my father because God put him there to help me become the person that God wants me to be. And with his mistakes and with his shortcomings and with his failures, he was a good man and he did the best that he could. Or maybe he didn't do the best that he could. But if he didn't do anything else, he gave me life. Because if it had not been for this man, I wouldn't be here in the house of God, saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, on my way to heaven to carry out God's assignment. So thank God that he gave me life. He may not have gave me nothing else, but he gave me life. And I'm going to thank God for him wherever he is. I may not know him, but he gave me life.
Yeah.
And God, I thank you. Bless him. Keep him. Save him if he's not saved. Heal him. Raise him up. Use him for your glory. In the precious name of Jesus. Somebody give God praise. We're done this morning. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We thank God for you, Father. We thank God for our earthly father.